Father, we bless you for this opportunity before you. We thank you because we are absolutely sure that there is a heaven and that you will soon come. And Lord, we are asking even this day that you will save the church from decay before your coming. Receive the glory as you anoint your word even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We bless God for another opportunity to see us from His Word. He is ready to speak to us. The voice of revival is coming, and the Lord is busy preparing His church for His second coming. This age is bewitched with the church being filled with people who call themselves brethren, brother, sister, but in their heart they distrust and suspect one another. It is not gainsaying the fact that some people who backslide and join occultic societies do so in search of true brotherhood. In some churches now, new converts are lost. And there, the church becomes guilty of spiritual infant mortality because of their inability to show true brotherhood. One still wonders whether there is actually a heaven, whether we still have a common goal, whether there is a difference between the church and a social club, whether there is a difference between the church and mere political parties. Turn with me to the scriptures. Let's go to the Holy Writ. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. I'm reading chapter 12, verses 4 to 5. And then Genesis chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. Turn with me to your Bible, Genesis chapter 12, verses 4 to 5. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the soil that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. If you turn again to the same Genesis chapter 13, I am reading verses 6 through 9. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Say, brother, say, I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. As I look at these passages that we have just read, Abraham was called by God. We didn't hear that God called Lot. But Abraham took Lot, his brother's son. Lot was his brother's son. In other words, Abraham was Lot's uncle. It looks like a man who went into the city to live. And he decided to go with the son of his brother. To live and train the son of his brother. In that place that they went, God began to prosper them. And then, because of the blessing, accommodation problem came. The Bible says, there arose a strife between Abraham's husband and Lot's husband. Strife came, quarreling issues. But according to the scriptures, Abraham initiated the peace move. You know, when a man is looking for peace, you no longer count who is senior or who is junior. A man who is anointed for peace, a man who is going for peace, does not count seniority and does not count whatever, whatever. Abraham initiated the peace move. People who came from the same place. People who came from the same country. Abraham said, Lot, listen. We have prayed to these people about our God. We have told them that we have the same God. They knew when we came. They knew that we came from the same place. When I was doing an official introduction in the city, I told them that you are my brother. And Abraham said, quarreling is not good between you and me. There are people that should quarrel, not brothers, not you and me, my brother. It will become a profanity of what we profess if we come to quarrel. Please, my brother, let us settle it privately. Let's come together and settle it privately. How come it that your husband and my husband will begin to quarrel? Instead of trouble, let me be denied of my elderly cultural rights. Though I senior you, look at the land, choose first. I saw Abraham in the scriptures. Abraham was saying, let me take less now and be sure of God in the end. But Lot was saying, I will take what looks good now and risk the future. Take it again. Lot said, I will take what looks good now and risk the future. But Abraham said, I will take less now and be sure of God in the end. But then before I announce this stuff, what was the thing that motivated Abraham's action? Abraham said, for we are brethren. For we are brethren. And from that scripture, I want to ask the present church a question. As I look at what is happening in the rank and file of the church, I begin to ask a solemn question. Are we still brethren? Look at your neighbor. Look into his eye. I say, neighbor, are we still brethren? Yes, you call me bro. You call me sister. But are you sure we are still brethren? Why do we call people bro or sister? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, that we belong to one body. He said that we are not baptized into Christ. If you are born again, it means you are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. And then you are entitled to be a brother or a sister in the Lord. One body, one heaven, one goal, We have the same thing. We have a common goal. We have a common enemy because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that the problem of this generation is Christianity without Christianity. People go to church. They know the pastor of the church. They know the bishop of the church. But they don't know the Lord of the church. But I still ask the question. You call bro, sister, bro, everywhere, bro, sister. But the issue today is this. If we are still brethren, why have we lost that sense of love that is enshrined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? When the Bible said that love is not envious, and a lot of things listed. Get back to the Bible again. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We don't have the time to read all of that. If we are still brethren, why is selfishness eroding individual Christians and ministers? People now build self-kingdoms and not God's kingdom. If we are brethren, why is personal interest becoming supreme and not the church welfare? You see people going to the church and everybody scrambling for his own selfish interest. And we see at the end of the service, we say, bro, sister, if we are still brethren, belonging to the same Lord, going to the same heaven, saying we are children of God, why can't brethren handle brethren's cases? Why cannot Christians settle a case that arose in the church among Christians? Why do we go to the courts to tell the world to come and judge the church? Why do we go to make ourselves object of caricature before an ungodly judge in the only God? Jesus says, is it not foolishness? How is it that when we have a case, we go to the world asking the world to come and judge our case, and we come back at the end, we say, bro, sister, don't bro me, don't sister me, when it is done in hypocrisy in the high places. You call me bro, you call me sister, but you do something that you would have done to your enemy unto me, and you still say, we are brethren. If we are brethren, where have we thrown the god of tribalism in the church? Ethnocentricism and clanner bias. Why has that God been enthroned in the church? As I look at the present day church, I see the enthronement of tribalism. Imagine me getting converted, abandoning my village club, abandoning my social club, abandoning old friends in the name of the Lord. I resign from the village age grade. I joined the church. I came into the church and said, take the whole world, I take Jesus. I came to church. I was rejected and persecuted by my people, by my community. And they said, because you have done this, you have left our club, we can no longer attend your wedding. But do you know? On the day of my wedding, it was scanty because I came from the minority tribe. In the church, I will hear. Abriba brethren, wait. And when it is a wedding of Abriba brethren, every Abriba brother or sister from every corner will come. When it is a wedding for Hafia, every Hafia people will come. When it is a wedding, for Ungwa people, all Ungwa brethren will come. When it is a wedding for Alu people, all Alu brethren will come. But because I came from Umumbi, a minority place, we are few that came to the Lord, and I came to the church, even though from Umumbi, a minority place, behold, on the day of my wedding, people didn't attend because I am from the minority. And at the end of the day, you shake my hand and you call me brother and you call me sister. Are we still brethren? If we are brethren, why is it that when I was bereaved, when my brother died, when my sister died, I looked around, I couldn't see brethren. I couldn't see church members. Because I am a lonely voice in the church. What is the true essence of all the brethren meetings today? These brethren. If it is evangelistic, to God be the glory. But But if it is with any ulterior motive, I want to say by the authority of the word of God and anointing of the Spirit of God that Jesus frowns at such brotherhood syndrome. Let me ask you a question. Dear President and Founder, why is it that in your ministry, in the Board of Trustees, you are the chairman of the Board of Trustees, your wife is the vice chairman, your two-year-old son is a member of the Board of Trustees, your daughter is a member of the Board of Trustees. Church has become a family affair now. You open a church, it's a business now for your family. You, chairman of Board of Trustees, your wife, vice chairman, your two-year-old son, who is not even born again, becomes a member of the Board of Trustees. All your children. Why? Because you don't trust other people. And after the end of the service, you call them bro, sister. You want them to sponsor you. You want them to give offering. You want to give them appointment. But you didn't trust them to be a member of the Board of Trustees. I will say we are brethren. I want to ask, are we still brethren? Don't we call ourselves bro and sister in hypocrisy? What is the essence of the brotherhood that we profess? We call other things and we practice another thing. If we are brethren, why is it that all your appointments in the ministry are now on people from your own tribe, your village, or your town? Church is now home church. If you are from this village, you appoint all members of your village that they surround you, whether they are born again or not. Are we still brethren? If we are brethren, why is it that in some churches who adopt the election, people don't think of who is qualified, but who comes from our home to represent us in the committee? And this committee, we don't have a person from our place. We don't have a person from our village to come into this committee. We are now running representative government in the church. You want somebody from your tribe to be there, whether he's qualified or not. Whether he's Alikrija Christian, push him there, provided he's from my land. May God save the church from decay in the name of Jesus Christ. Are we really brethren? In those churches, some who are qualified, they are thrown out because of testing for tribal politics. People from minority tribe in some churches are denied the right to be elected to a position through tribal politicking and maneuvering. And we are still saying the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. If we are brethren, why can't a happy man trust one man as a true brother? Why should we shake hands and say, bro, bro, but deep down in your heart, you don't trust that an MBC man is a Christian. In your heart, you don't trust an only man. You say, well, he's a bro, but mine somebody from this place, so mine somebody from the other place. And I ask you a question. Are we really brethren? Let us come out of the cocoon of hypocrisy. Let's come out of pretense. And let's become real. If we are brethren, why is it that an Igbo man will not trust that a Yoruba or Hausa man is reliable? Yet, out of hypocrisy, we call them brother, sister. Don't call me brother in hypocrisy. Don't call me sister in hypocrisy. When you call me brother, you don't trust me. And you say, we're going to the same heaven. Well, maybe God will prepare a different heaven for you. Bro, bro, bro. Sister, sister, sister. Let me ask you a question. Why must the will of God be between Abreba and Abreba? Oh, I saw the Lord. He revealed to me my wife. And it will be Abreba versus Abreba. Oh, the Lord spoke to me last night. He showed me my very wife. I am sure it was the voice of God. Aruchuku versus Aruchuku. Oh, I am absolutely sure I saw the Lord in my wedding. Asa versus Asa. Igbo versus Igbo. Hausa versus Hausa. If we are brethren, why can't an Ungwa man marry an Abreba man? Why can't an Mbise man go to River State in the will of God? If we are brethren, if what we say is what we practice, if we are brethren, why must you only sponsor ministers from your place, ministers from your land? That is the only people your money will go in for. And we call others brethren, brethren. The question today, are we still brethren? Are you sure we are brethren? You know, in every community, there is a derogatory name they call people from another place. Mungwa people will call, if you're not from Mungwa, they'll call you somebody from Ohoho or Wesoma. If you are from Aruchuku, Aruchuku people will call other people Ndembovia. That is people who come from the bush. It's only the Aru people that are in the town. Others are Mbovia, people who come from the bush. And in all some of these names, you have a name, you call people who are not from your place. Do you know that there is a carryover? People have carried over that syndrome to the church. In your church, the only people you trust are people from your land. And we say, we are brethren. We have polluted the church with the same tribal prejudice. Yet, in hypocrisy, we call them bro. We call them sister. We say that we are going to heaven. Abraham said, let there be no strife, let there be no quarrel, for we are brethren. And the great question is, are we still brethren? Do we really understand what this brethren, brotherhood means? If we are brethren, why can't a brother be honest in transacting business with a brother or sister? And we say we are brethren. If we are brethren, why should a brother commit fornication with a sister? He say, you are my bro, you are my sister. And he become bro in abomination, sister in abomination. You have lost the true sense of brotherhood. When a brother will say, this is my brother. When you say it's my brother, it means I could be trusted with this brother. I could be trusted with this sister. And you commit fornication and say, we are bro. If you are brethren, why should a brother play 419 on a brother? If we are brethren, why should we see a sister who she wears almost the same cloth every day? But you close your eyes. When you see the sister, you make eyes right. Let me tell you, anybody who is in the Lord doesn't go after sugar daddy. Let me tell you, in the church, you are the daddies and the mommies that they have. You are the brother that they have. If we are brethren, a brother, the Lord can lay a burden in your heart to give money to a sister in a pure heart. It's not a matter of, if we are brethren, it's not even when you give. Imagine a brother giving money to a sister, and the sister will ask him, bro, this money you are giving me, is it for what? If you ask me that question, well, how can you ask me, is it for what? When the Lord has led me to give you money, you're asking me, is it for what? It is because we are beginning to suspect one another in the church. We are suspecting he's giving you. If he has never mentioned that he's giving it to you for marriage, why not take the money in the name of the Lord? Then when he comes to talk about marriage, you will ask him whether the condition for that money was for you to marry him or her. Are we really brethren? If we are still brethren, how can you see your pastor wearing a shoe called I Swear to God? And you close your eyes. A brother is wearing a shoe called I Swear to God. What a shoe. You know, when something begins to swear, it means that its authenticity is being doubted. The shoe has been so used and overused that the shoe is beginning to swear, saying, I lift up my hands in honesty, saying, only God knows that I am shoe. It is only condition that has kept me in this formula. And you can never see that person, and you close your eyes. I want to share this poem with you right now. Somebody came to somebody saying, look at my need, I am homeless. Brethren, if we are brethren, we shall not just prattle and plan and pray like that man. He told her, well, sister, I will pray for you. And the sister wrote this poem. Listen. I was hungry, and you formed the humanities group to discuss my hunger. You know, I was dying of hunger, and you went and formed a committee, humanity committee, to discuss my hunger. Maybe before the committee will submit their report, I shall have died of hunger. I was in prison, and you crept off quietly to your chapel and prayed for my release. You would have done something. Probably you would have arrived for my release, but you went and crept out to pray for my release. I was naked, and in your mind, you debated the morality of my appearance. You didn't say, why is this sister naked? You began to debate the morality of my appearance. And tomorrow you call me brother, you call me sister. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your own health. And you call me brother, you call me sister. I was homeless, and you preach to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. When I am homeless, no place to live, you are preaching to me about it. Oh, brother, there's a spiritual shelter. The love of God is a spiritual shelter for you. That is nonsensical nonsense. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me when I was lonely, when I needed your companion. You seem so holy, so close to God, but I'm still very hungry and lonely and cold. Let the church get back to brotherhood and true sense of brotherhood. If we are brethren, why is it that we will watch somebody starve to death and we keep quiet? Why is it that we will watch somebody starve to death and we keep quiet and we say we are still brethren? If we are brethren, if the bro we call, if we are serious, why should you hear that a fellow preacher or brother or sister pushes cocaine? A brother you have been worshiping in the same church with, you just heard, hey, this brother pushes cocaine. No? You will not even investigate. You become ambassador for rumor, carrying it in the whole world, telling the whole world, yes, yeah, this brother is a cocaine pusher. You hear that somebody, a brother, in the same church, snatched a car under a gunpoint. You didn't investigate. You began to carry the rumor. Are we still brethren? If we are brethren, why should you betray the confidence of brotherhood by committing adultery with your brother's wife or your sister's husband? Are you still called bro? You still shout sister? If we are still brethren. If we are brethren. Now, the issue that we want to discuss, the issue we want the choice to ask, are we really brethren? Did we really lose the sense of brotherhood? Are we still brethren? Are we sure we are brethren? Are we sure that what we practice is biblical Christianity of brotherhood? The brotherhood that could choose, bind us together and prepare us for oneness even as we approach heaven. Are we still brethren? Turn over to the other side.